Hello, I'm Nick Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. I want to thank you for tuning into our weekly broadcast today. You know, Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world. And through this weekly broadcast, Cross Church is able to share a time of praise and worship, as well as a time of studying God's Word with people from all walks of life. I want to thank you today again for tuning in, and please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our four regional campuses. Come be a part of our friendly, compassionate family known as Cross Church. So if you would, go to crosschurch.com to learn more about our church, and we hope that you'll join us very soon.
We're working our way through the book of 1 Corinthians. And we kind of pressed pause last week a little bit for the summer freedom. We were still in 1 Corinthians, but the series that we've been talking through, been preaching through, we've called it Keep the Mission High. And that is because with any organization, and the church is no exception, there will always be innumerable distractions from the mission. Something or someone or some immediate sense of urgency or some fire that's got to be put out, something is going to always pull on any organization, try to take its eyes, take its focus off of the mission. Now, for us, we've just walked through a generational transition from one senior pastor to the next. We want to make sure that as Cross Church, we do not lose our focus, that we keep our eyes on the mission. So that's why we're focusing on this, and we're trying to learn. We're trying to learn from a church that had a real difficult time doing this, okay? So the church is the church at Corinth, all right? That's why we're in the book of 1 Corinthians. This is a church that was planted by the Apostle Paul. We're going to talk a lot about him today, all right? He planted this church, was able to then hand it off, walked away, planted more churches, but he began to hear news that things weren't going very well at this church. They were not doing a great job of keeping the mission high. They had become divided, like they were just divided over all kinds of things. They really had a hard time liking each other, okay? They had allowed sexual immorality to creep into the church, and people had just sort of become okay with that. And that led to just sin in general was something that the church had become numb to, like just a lot of sin in the church. And nobody seemed to be calling it out or trying to eliminate it or take care of the problem. And then they had actually degraded into the point of where they were suing one another in the public court system, church members settling their disputes in the public court system through lawsuits. Paul's looking at this, and he can't believe it. He's like, man, you guys have lost your vision for the mission. So he's trying to correct them in all of this. So as we work through all of this, today we come to chapter 9. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at five verses. And in these five verses, Paul wants to point out one other thing that's just in the list of things that people can get sucked into that take their eyes off of the mission. So today is one of those messages where we all are going to be pulled into this a little bit, okay? Because what he's going to do today is he's going to talk about personal preferences. So the title of today's specific message is Keep the Mission High, but we're talking about mission over preference. Mission over preference. So Paul's going to get into all of this, but kind of to get us out of the gate, I want to start by asking a question. I'll put the question on the screen for us to look at. But here's the question. I want you to think about this for a moment. What is the greatest barrier in your estimation to the spread of the gospel? Because that really is the mission. For us, the mission is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are highly motivated by the fact that Jesus came to earth, he died on a cross, he was buried, and he lived again. He conquered sin, he conquered death. He is the gateway to eternal life, all right? And he is coming back one day, and when he comes back, he expects that we're going to have done our job. He expects that there's going to be a lot of people waiting for him to come back, and that he's going to take all of us to heaven with him, all right? So that's kind of the mission, is to spread the word and get a lot of people rounded up who are following Jesus, who are ready for Jesus to come back. So that's the gospel. That's what we're trying to do. So now along the way, there's going to be barriers to that, right? We all get that. But what do you think is the greatest barrier to this mission that I'm talking about? And, you know, there's could be a lot of things. I mean, for instance, some might say, you know, we just need a little bit more of those hymns sung in church, like what we sang this morning, Blessed Assurance, which, by the way, was a fantastic hymn. Can I get an amen? You know, so some might say, well, it's all about the music. You know, if we just get our music right. Now, I am so thankful that at Cross Church, we don't get into that junk, okay? And churches do, man. They do. It's kind of like if we had more of this or, you know, we need more of that new stuff. We need a new song, you know, in our hearts. And I, listen, I love the new stuff. Can I get an amen? I do. I like it all. But you know, here's the deal that I think we've kind of gotten here at Cross Church. You know, when we come together to worship Jesus, it's really not about what you like or what you don't like, but it's really all about, at the end of the day, did Jesus like what he heard? I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, you know what we are? We really are all one big choir. That's what we come together on Sundays. We're one giant choir, and we're singing. We're singing to an audience of one. And at the end of the day, it's like it's not so much about the style, but did we do a good job? Was it excellent? Does Jesus have a smile on his face when we go home? And so, but there would be some people who would like want to take the conversation that way, or some people might be like, you know, if we just had a different preacher, you know. I try really hard not to take that personal, okay? But some people might be like, we just need a different style of preaching or whatever, you know, and then we could get the gospel out. Or people point fingers at all kinds of things. Sometimes we want to point the finger at, how about this one? It's the government's fault. You know, with all the religious liberty stuff that's out there, you know, I mean, the greatest barrier is the politics and the government and these laws and just, you know, in the state of our nation. And if we could just get government right, you know, then we could get the gospel out more. So that's like the greatest barrier. And I would say to all of that, no, no, no. And I'm going to go even further, and this is where it gets kind of personal, but I'm going to say it this way. I believe that the greatest barrier to the spread of the gospel is, are you ready? It's us. Or at least it can be you and it can be me. And so what today, we're going to talk about us. We're going to talk about you. We're going to talk about me. It's going to get real personal. But before we talk about us, first we're going to talk about Paul. Because in this passage of Scripture, what Paul does is Paul talks about himself. And so we're going to talk about Paul. Then we're going to talk about what Paul says and what about himself. And then we're going to use that to talk about us. And so let's talk a little bit about Paul. And when you talk about Paul, he's also known by another name. His given name at birth was the Jewish name Saul. So Saul/Paul, same person in the New Testament. There was a Saul in the Old Testament. That's a different Saul, thousands of years earlier, all right? Same name, different guy. This is Paul, the apostle, the same one who wrote the book that we're going to read from today, okay? And he was born Saul, and Saul was born a Jew. He was born like a Jew of a big-time Jewish family, and his family had some money, okay? They were wealthy. They lived in a city called Tarsus, and his parents, they wanted the very best for Saul. They wanted the best Jewish education for Saul, and that wasn't going to be found in Tarsus, so they wanted him to go to Jerusalem, to the mothership, to the seat of where the temple was, where the Holy of Holies was, where all the great rabbis were teaching, and they had the means to do it. So at a young age, they packed up Saul, they sent him to Jerusalem, and they paid for the best education they could find. He actually sat under a man named Gamaliel, who was a big-time rabbi. As a matter of fact, Gamaliel is so influential in Jewish theology that his interpretation of Scripture, his writings are still spoken of today by Jews. So he's like a big-time guy in Judaism, and Paul sat under him. So Paul really was a Jew of Jews. And as he began to grow into manhood, he took his belief system on the road, and he believed that in order to be right with God, you had to do it the way he thought you had to do it. He was very, very he was very inflexible. In order to get to God, And to be right with God, you had to do Judaism the way Paul thought you had to do Judaism. He became an evangelist for this way of thinking. He became what known as the great persecutor of the church. So these Christians, these people who are following Jesus, they're not doing it the way Paul's doing it. So he pursued them, and he would hold the coats of people while they would stone the apostles. And then he would go on mission trips of a different kind in order to find anybody not doing it like he did it. But then Saul met Jesus. Man, when you meet Jesus, everything changes. And it changed for Saul big time. Like he had a Damascus Road experience. And we call it that because he literally was on the road to Damascus and he saw a bright light and he met Jesus and everything changed. And he became not a persecutor of the church. He became a different kind of evangelist for the church. And here's the deal. He became known by a different name. He became known by Paul. And get this. Paul would go on to travel in his lifetime over 10,000 miles telling people about Jesus. Over 10,000 miles in a world with no airplanes, no automobiles, only boats with sails and oars and your feet and donkeys. That's how he did it. 10,000 miles. He would plant, some would say the estimates around 20 different churches that he was personally involved in planting over the course of two different continents. And arguably, when Paul was done, he laid the DNA for church growth and church expansion that you and I are a part of still today. So when you look at Saul and then Paul, and you look at this man, you got to look at him going, how did he do that? Like, it kind of makes, I kind of have a drag about myself because I'm like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I do that with the resources I got available to me? How did Paul get that done? And that's what we're going to get into today. We're going to talk about how Paul got it done. I'm going to tell you how he got it done. He was determined. He was determined that he was not going to become a barrier to the mission. That he, Paul, was going to get out of the way so that he and what he thought and what he thought felt and what he preferred was not a barrier to the gospel. So what Paul does in verse 19 through 23 in these five verses, Paul's going to talk about himself. He's going to talk about how he got himself out of the way. So if you want to learn from Paul and we want to learn from Paul, let's get into it right now. I invite you to look with me at verse 19, chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. Paul says this. He says, For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. And to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. And I did it so that I might win those outside of the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. And I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Would you pray with me? Father God, I pray that you would give us eyes to see. I pray that you'd give us ears to hear and give us feet and hands for action. And if you agree with me in prayer, would you say amen? So what I want to do is go back to this little monologue because there is a whole lot here that Paul is saying about his efforts to get himself out of the way so that people can come to Jesus. And I want to kind of break it down. I kind of pulled out six phrases that really, really kind of zero in on it. So let's just go back to it. I'm going to put them on the screen one at a time, and let's talk about them and let us learn, okay? Phrase number one, he says this, though I am free from all. Though I am free from all. So Paul has sent, what he's saying, he's saying, I've been set free by Jesus. So like I was a Jew, I was under a very strict system of living and worshiping God and trying to be right with God. And I had all of these expectations that were put on me. My family had expectations. They spent a lot of money to send me to Jerusalem, to live in Jerusalem, to rent, you know, a place to live and to the food that goes with that and stayed there for years. And they spent a lot of money to get me into the school of Gamaliel. And I had to prove myself, but my mom and dad have a lot of expectations. So they're counting on me. My grandparents are counting on me. My brothers and sisters are counting on me. I've got friends who are counting on me. Never underestimate the power of peer pressure, and that's not just for teenagers, right? So I've got friends who have expectations from me. All my other teachers, the ones that work for Gamaliel, they have expectations for me. And what Paul is saying is, I have been set free from all of that. I have found a freedom in Christ that I did not even know existed. And so if you're here today and you have never found that freedom in Christ, keep listening, okay? Because we're going to talk about that. That's what we're talking about. And so it's almost like what Paul is saying, it's almost like he's saying, I was like a slave, and now I've been set free from that bondage, right? Which makes the next phrase I want to look at really, really interesting. The second phrase is this. I've been free from all, but look at this. I have made myself a servant to all. Now, what's really interesting here is the word servant. That's the key word. The key word is servant, because that's the English translation that we've got, but the English translations, it really kind of takes the edge off of what the word really means, because the Greek word here is the Greek word doulos, and it is it's the word in the Greek language for slave. Not servant, but slave. So it's almost like Paul is saying, hey man, I have been set free. The chains are gone. The shackles have fallen off. And you know what I've done with all of that? I have turned right back around, and now I have voluntarily made myself a slave, not just to my family, not just to my parents, not just to my friends, but I've now made myself a slave to total strangers, to everyone, to everyone. And so that's, like I said, kind of just a weird paradoxical thing going here. And so Paul's going to flesh it out for us. What's going on? What does he mean by all of this? Well, he's going to flesh it out. And let me give you the next statement, because he kind of starts to get into it. This one's really very interesting as well. You want to know what all this means, this slavery freedom stuff? He says, well, here's what it means. To the Jew, I became a Jew in order to win the Jews. Now, here's why this is so crazy, and hopefully you've been paying attention to what I've been saying, because this sounds sort of like crazy talk, because Paul is talking about Jews as if he's not one of them. And that's exactly who he is or was. Like he's talking about Jews like he's an outsider who's willing to be like them, right? And so this, it sort of sounds kind of crazy, but what's going on here is, and what he has in mind is that Paul's been set free from the Jewish system, and the Jewish system is how you get right with God. And the Jews, listen, it's a system, man. I mean, it really is. It's got layer after layer of rules and regulations. You got to eat certain kinds of food. You can't touch certain things. You can't be around certain people. Whenever you mess up, you've got to take an animal or buy an animal. So there's financial cost, and you got to take it to the temple in Jerusalem to the priest, and he's going to kill the animal. So it's kind of messy, and you got to do that like every time you sin, because that's the only, doing all of this at the same time. That's the only way to be right with God, and that's called the Old Covenant. And Paul has been set free from that old covenant, so he doesn't identify with it anymore. To him, the old way of doing things has been replaced by a new covenant, and that new covenant is Jesus. Jesus said on the night he went to be arrested and eventually hung on the cross, he said, a new covenant I give you. Remember that? And this new covenant is in my blood. So now, it's not about what you eat. It's not about who you hang out with. It's not about the animals anymore. I am the sacrifice, and it's a one-and-done thing. I am the perfect sacrifice for all of your mistakes and all of your baggage and all of your sin. And so this new covenant is what has freed Paul. He's walked away from this old covenant. And so what Paul is saying here in all of this, though, is, you know what? I might be free and I might not even be a Jew anymore. But if I need to be a Jew again, if I need to eat kosher, I will. If I need to quote from the Torah, I will. If I need to put myself underneath the rules one more time, I'll do that. But here's the difference now. He's not doing it anymore to get the favor of God. He's got the favor of God. But he's willing to sacrifice his freedom for the favor of man. I mean, that's what he says, isn't it? I mean, to those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, and I did it that I might win those under the law. It's not about being right with God anymore. It's about getting God to people. So he's willing to sacrifice his freedom in this way. He goes on. This is not all he's willing to do. To the Jew, I can be a Jew. If I need to be a Jew, I can be a Jew. All right? But how about this? To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law. So let me tell you who he's talking about now. So there's Jews, and this now he's talking about Gentiles. So in the world, in Paul's world that he grew up in, there's really only two kinds of people in the world. There are Jews, and there's everybody else. And everybody else, they had names for them. They called them Gentiles. Sometimes they just called them Greeks. That was not a term of endearment. That would have been kind of like an insult, you know. But he's willing to go and be, he says, like a Gentile. And this shows you how far Paul has come from his roots. Because you see, to a Jew, even to walk inside your home or my home, just to walk through the front door would separate a Jew from God. Because I'm unclean in their eyes, and my house is unclean, and we cook all kinds of foods that aren't cool in the Jewish system. So the whole house and the whole thing is contaminated. And so to even associate with a Gentile separates you from God. And Paul is saying, you know what? I'm free from all that now. Me and God are great because of Jesus, because of a new covenant. And so I can be like a Jew if I need to be. And you know what? If I need to eat a ham sandwich, I can do that too. And if I need to quote a pagan poet like Paul did in Acts chapter 17 in Athens, if I need to quote a pagan poet in order to get your attention and to relate to you and to enter into your world so that you can hear me, I am willing to do all of that. That's what he's saying. To those outside the law, I have become like one outside the law. He says that, now this is really interesting too. He puts this kind of in parenthesis. He says, don't get me wrong, I'm not outside the law of God, but I'm under the law of Christ. What does that mean? What's that? Is he trying to have it both ways? No, he's not trying to. What he's saying is, just because he's not under the Jewish legal system anymore, God still has an expectation. And there is now a new law. Just like there's a new covenant, the old covenant has faded away, man. And covenant is just a fancy word for agreement. It's how we are right with each other. And the old way of being right with God is passed. There's a new covenant. And just like there's a new covenant, there's also a new command. And that's what Paul's talking about here. And here's what's really great. This is what's great about following Jesus. Is there's only one rule. There's only one rule for following Jesus. There's not hundreds of them like the Jews have to follow. There's just one rule, and it's so very simple, and Jesus gave it to us in John 13. I want to put it on the screen. Here's what Jesus said. once again, right at the point he was headed to the cross, he says, a new commandment I give you. So we're getting rid of the old ones, but here's a new one I give you. And only one, that you love one another. That you love one another. And look at this, just as I have loved you. Just as I have loved you. And he said this before he went to the cross. So in light of the cross, think about how that changes the perspective, right? That you love one another, just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. This just takes it to a whole new level, doesn't it? I mean, let me tell you what Paul is saying. He's saying, listen, I love you so much. And when he says, I love you, he's talking about everybody. The love one another thing, that there's no limits. That's not limited to just Christians. It's not limited just to people like us. I mean, for God so loved the what? World, right? Like everybody. So the love one another kind of covers all of that, right? So what Paul is saying here is, listen, man, I love you so much that I am willing to enter your world. I am willing to be a Jew if I have to be a Jew. I'm willing to be a Gentile if I have to be a Gentile. I'm willing to lay aside, listen to this, I'm willing to lay aside my personal preferences. Don't think Paul didn't still have things he liked and preferred. But he said, I'm willing to lay it all aside because I love you. I'm willing to lay aside my personal freedoms even. And I'm willing to enter your world. And why would he do that? Why would he do that? Well, he tells us that I might win those outside the law. And then he, just for good measure, just to make sure he's not missing somebody, he says, to the weak, I became weak that I might win the weak. You know, the Jews worship God their way. The Greeks had a pantheon of gods, very literally, and they worshiped all of those. But you know, there are some people that they're just too busy in life to get into any of that stuff. They're scraping by. They got a low income job. They've got kids that they're trying to do the very best they can to raise. They're trying to raise them with a hope and a future for something more than what they have. And they're not into all of the theology, and they're not into all of the politics. They're just living life one day at a time. Don't put a label on me. I'm just trying to get by. And Paul's like, you know what? I'll even be like you if I have to be like you. To anybody and to everybody. What Paul is saying here, he's saying, listen, I got to make sure that I get me out of the way. I got to get me out of the way so that you can see Jesus. And so then to sum it all up, and he does, he sums it all up, and this is kind of the last phrase I wanted to focus on. Paul says, I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some, and I do it all for the sake of the gospel. Now, before I move on, I need to caveat this for a moment, okay, and kind of give a little bit of a warning, because some people have come along and they've taken this phrase, I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some, and they've kind of twisted it, all right, and they've taken it in a direction that we really don't want to go, and they might come along and say something like this. So, Pastor Jeff, are you saying that it's okay if I smoke a joint with my friends in order to tell them about Jesus? No, that is not what I'm saying, and that is not what Paul is saying. First of all, under the love one another principle, and by the way, that's very, very, very powerful. Under the love one another principle, I would never, ever enter into harmful and sinful behavior to tell you about Jesus. Because that's not very loving for me to do, to enable your bad habits and things that ultimately can hurt you. I would never do that. What Paul is saying is not, he's not talking about joining sin. What he's saying is, I'm laying aside me. And I'm willing to enter your world, not be of your world, but enter your world and lay aside my personal preferences so that they are not a barrier. And that is a very different thing than joining in with sin. Just need to say that. And that's Paul. All of that today is Paul. That's where he's at. That's what he's done. And by the way, he was pretty stinking effective in spreading the gospel. Amen? Lots and lots of things happened under his watch. So what about you now? And what about me? Because see, here's the deal. We all have personal preferences, don't we? I mean, we all like the things we like. Like I prefer fajitas over hard shell tacos. That's just what I prefer when I go eat Mexican food. Can I get an amen? It's what I like, right? I prefer Mac over PC. That's the world I live in. That's what I prefer. This is going to disappoint some of you, but I do prefer Honda over Chevy. Okay, I just do. All right? I prefer it to be 70 degrees when I go to bed at night. I set my thermos. I like it to be cold, and I like to be under a blanket. That's what I prefer, right? I prefer to read my Bible first thing in the morning. That's what I prefer to do, me. I prefer to pray with my wife the last thing we do before we go to bed at night. That's what I prefer to do. And here's the other thing. I prefer to be with people in my life who are like me. That's what I prefer to do. And here's the thing. My preferences aren't bad. I mean, it is okay if you like hard shell tacos, okay? It really is. That's not going to make a difference in how you get to Jesus. I hope, right, that we're not doing that. You know, my preferences are not bad, but they can become bad when I make them a prison for other people. Do you see that statement? And when I talk about personal preferences, I'm talking about the whole gambit of personal preferences. And so let me say a couple of things real quickly about the prison of personal preferences. Number one, personal preferences can enslave other people to a false gospel. For instance, in the world of politics, and you got to be so careful how you talk about these kinds of things, but in the world of politics, we all vote the way we vote. And maybe there's a particular party that you kind of go with whenever you vote. But here's the deal. Do not make your political choices, do not make your political party a gateway to Jesus. No matter how you vote, don't make that a condition. Because when you start adding things, gateways to Jesus, you make it hard and you get in the way. So don't make your musical preferences a gateway to Jesus. Don't make the way you dress a gateway to Jesus. Don't make food. Don't make politics. Don't make anything a gateway to Jesus, okay? Secondly, personal preferences are the cousin of this thing called legalism. So legalism is basically when you create a new law in order to access God. That's what legalism is. When you create a law that has to be obeyed in order to get to Jesus. That's what legalism is. So when your personal preferences, which aren't bad, it's okay to do and believe and think the things you do, but when your personal preferences stand in the way of someone getting to Jesus, your personal preferences are no longer personal preferences. They are now laws, and you just became a legalist. So Paul got all over this man. The church at Galatia, there were actually the churches of Galatia. This is what started happening to them. They started adding all of these little extra laws, gateways to get to Jesus, and Paul blew them up in the book of Galatians. He said on the screen, look at this. He says, I am astonished. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ, and you are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you, and they want to distort the gospel of Christ. And then he goes on in the whole book to talk about what they've done by adding these gateways to Jesus. Listen, there is no gateway to Jesus. Jesus is the gateway. So for all of you in here, listen to me. If you have been living your life thinking that it's hard to get to Jesus, thinking that you can't become a Christian because then you have to like do this and this and this and this in order to get to Jesus, you have been sold a lie, a distorted gospel. We used to sing a hymn, speaking of hymns today, we used to sing a hymn a long time ago called Just As I Am. And it basically said, I come to Jesus just as I am. And while we may have sang just as I am, I'm not sure all of us actually believed just as I am. So Jesus really does love you just the way you are, man. You can come to Jesus just the way you are. Now, he's going to want to change some things, but don't let that scare you because it is all for the better. Like wherever you are, he will take you up. But you just come just as you are. So what we got to do, you know what we got to do? We got to unlock the prison of personal preferences. So let's do that real quick and then we'll be done. How do I unlock the prison of personal preferences? Well, the best way I know to do this is just to ask you some really probing questions for you. Now, I'm going to warn you, it might sting a little bit. But hey, why'd you come to church, right? So let's start with an easy one. This is a really, really easy one. Can you eat lunch with someone who uses a different translation of the Bible than you? That's an easy one, right? However, you might be surprised. And we all prefer whatever translation you use, okay? Right? And there's nothing wrong with you preferring what you prefer, unless it gets in the way of someone getting to Jesus. You see how that works? Right? So that's an easy one. Let's get a little bit harder. Can you worship Jesus to a style of music that is not your favorite? Can you do that? And listen, this is one of the, I get it. I mean, we all like what we like. I mean, music is just one of those things. Whatever decade you are a teenager, that's probably your favorite music. Go 1980s, right? And there's nothing wrong with liking what you like. But as I said earlier, you know, when we come here, we're never going to be able to do in one Sunday morning with four or five songs something that everybody likes. But that's not the point of why we're here. We're here to do whatever we do with excellence for God. So that when we walk out of here, he's smiling and saying, those are my children. Here's a biggie. Are you willing to wear earplugs if the music is too loud on Sunday, but what we are doing is helping us reach a younger generation? It's just a question. And by the way, you know, it's getting a little loud for me too at times. Just joking. You know, the point is it's about reaching other people. You got it? And doing whatever it takes to reach other people. And we lay our own personal preferences, we lay them aside. We enslave ourselves so that other people can hear about Jesus. You see how that works? These are just questions. This was kind of the biggie. Are you okay with anybody? And I'm going to put anybody in air quotes. Are you okay with anybody? No matter how they smell, or how they're dressed, or what lifestyle they live, or who they may bring with them, are you okay with anybody coming to our church on a Sunday morning to hear the good news of Jesus Christ preached from this pulpit? Are you okay with that? Now let's push it a little farther. Are you okay sitting next to anybody on a Sunday morning and shaking their hand during the welcome and inviting them to a growth track class so they can learn more about our church? Are you okay doing that? And if you really, really, really want to go to the edge, because we're not always in this room, are we? We don't live life in here. We live life out there. Are you okay going to anybody out there and being their friend? so that you can tell them about Jesus. Are you okay doing that? I have become all things to all people that I might save some. You know, we've just got to remember this, church. There are more people not like you than that there are like you. There are more people that prefer things differently than what you prefer them. And so if we make it narrow like that, then we sabotage the mission. May it not be so. Are you willing to become anybody, to share Jesus with anybody?